Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you again on the Go and Teach Bible program that's sponsored by the Monte Vista Church of Christ. If you're out there looking for a place to worship, we bid you to come and worship with us, or reach out to us for a Bible study. Private Bible study would be wonderful. But if you're interested in our public Bible studies, we'll be studying this morning at 9:30 and then worshiping at 10:20 thereafter, and also be worshiping tonight at 6 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. But if you're seeking the truth and you're confused by all the religious division that's around you, we bid you to reach out to us. You can reach out to us by phone, coming here personally, or by email. Our email is on our website, montevistacoc.com. Please have your Bibles open if you'd like to follow along to John chapter 5. We'll be spending the entire time this morning in John chapter 5. Before we begin reading, I want to reference an interview that I saw on Larry King Live back in 2003. I know I'm going back 11 years, but bear with me. It was an interview with supposedly the five of the top religious leaders in the United States. They were brought on the show by Larry King basically to debate and argue over what the Bible says about war. You know, back in 2003, only 2 years or a year and a half after September 11th, 2001, that was a big debate. We were hunting down terrorists and whatnot, so they got on the show to debate about war. Well, soon after the interview started, the debate took a sharp turn, and it stopped being about war. They started debating a totally different topic. They started talking about whether there was a right religion out there. And if people were going to go to heaven, if they were not part of this right religion, you can put that in quotes. For example, can a Muslim go to heaven, and a Catholic, and a person who's a member of God's church, a Christian? So these five of the top religious leaders, you know what they think? You know what they said? Two of them believed that it did not matter what you believed. If you lived a good moral life, you would be saved. Two others believed in the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ, meaning you had to at least believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, to be saved. And the last one was honestly so wishy-washy, I couldn't understand what he actually stood for. So I couldn't tell you. I wrote a sermon on this back in 2003 when I was working for a small congregation in Butler, Missouri. And I wrote the sermon about unity and how we should be united on what we believe. And that's true. I wouldn't take that sermon back. But I've wrote a different lesson this time. And it's about the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ. The exclusiveness of Jesus Christ. And if we can impress upon our minds, and we need to, and the minds of the unbelieving, and the minds of the religious world around us, that Jesus is the only way to salvation, and the only way to be forgiven of our sins, you know what happens? His teachings become paramount, because he's the only way. And if Jesus is not the only way, then his teachings are really just suggestions. Jesus suggested that we love our neighbor. He suggested that we be forgiving people. He suggested morality. But if Jesus is not the only way, they are just basically suggestions. So here's where I want to start, here in John chapter 5, about the testimony that Jesus says he had about him being the Son of God. Read the first couple verses here to begin. In verse 31 and 32 of John 5 with me, Jesus said, "If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know the testimony which he bears of me is true. Jesus says, if I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. When someone's on trial and they take the stand, which sometimes the guilty party or the accused party, I should say, does not take the stand because they don't want to incriminate themselves. But a lot of times the accused will take the stand and they'll get up and they'll be asked by their lawyers, did you do it? And they'll say, no, I didn't do it. I was here or I was there. And that's all fine and good for someone to testify about themselves. But if that's all the evidence that you have, a lot of times juries come back after deliberating and say that the person who just got up on the stand and said they were not guilty, they were lying. You can testify about yourself all you want, but if you don't have any other evidence, your testimony's not true. And Jesus understood this principle. If I'm the only one who thinks that I'm the Son of God, then yeah, toss my testimony out. But there are others who testified about Jesus that he is the Son of God, namely John the Baptizer, his own works, the Father in heaven, and the Old Testament scriptures. So the first witness that he references to him being the Christ, the Son of God, in the following verses is John the Baptizer. Read with me verse 33 through 35. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was a lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Jesus says, you went to John, you sent to John, and guess what? John told the truth. What did John say? What was the truth? Well, in John 1, John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 34 through 36, here we have three testimonies of John, 2 days in a row. If you back up to John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day he was coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Drop down to verse 34 of John 1. And I have seen, this is still John talking, and I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, verse 36, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Everyone was going out to the wilderness to hear John preach, or most people. Even the Pharisees wanted to hear what John had to say. And what was John's message? For the most part, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And along with that, John was preaching that one was coming after him that was greater than him. So great that John said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. The one that was coming after him that was so much greater was Jesus, the very Son of God, and he testified to that back in John chapter 1. But if you go back to John chapter 5 now, you'll see Jesus saying, I have a better testimony than that of John the Baptizer. Verse 34, he says again, but the witness which I have received is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. What is he saying? John the Baptist was just a man. And I'm just a man too. I can get on the program and say Jesus is the Son of God all I can and all I want, but I'm just a man. I say it all the time. I say it in private conversations, in the pulpits, on the program, but I'm just a man. And so was John. John spoke the truth, but since he was just a man, Jesus has a greater testimony. The second piece of evidence, the second witness that he talks about is his works. The works of Jesus testified that he was the Son of God. Verse 36, but the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So what else testifies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? The works. Were the miracles, which when he uses the term works, I think it's broader than the miracles, but I think he is honing in on more specifically the miracles, the signs and the wonders. You cannot deny the miracles Jesus is telling the crowd. It was prophesied in the book of Psalms and a few times in Isaiah, just to give you a couple of examples, that the Messiah would perform miracles. And he did. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 said, "No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of that group that hated Jesus the most, probably. And yet he admitted that no one could do the signs that Jesus was doing unless God was with him. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter said that Jesus was attested to by God with miracles and wonders and signs. The New American Standard uses the word attested, that God the Father attested. Since we've been using words like testify, testimony, I thought I'd give you the definition of that word, attested. It means proved or supported by testimony. Well, what do you know? The works, the miracles are a testimony that Jesus is the exclusive Son of God and our Savior. In John chapter 10, I know we're staying in the flipping around John chapter 5 a good bit, but if you go to John 10 really quick and look at verse 25, Jesus said to them, "I told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me." If you drop down the same chapter, verse 37 of John 10, Jesus said, If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. If you don't believe me, Jesus says in John 10, that's fine. But you can't deny the works. Believe the works that you might believe me. Believe the works that you may know that the Father is in me and I in the Father. And in the very next verse, they tried to seize Jesus in John chapter 10. You know why? You can't argue with what you know to be true. They tried arguing with Jesus about where he had come from, about politics, taxes, about the law, but they could never argue with the works that they had seen with their own eyes. You can't argue with what you know to be true. You remember in the book of Matthew when John the Baptizer was sent to jail, and John questioned Jesus whether he was the expected one or not, in Matthew chapter 11. I want to read Matthew chapter 11 just very quickly. John from jail sends a couple of disciples to ask Jesus specifically, are you the one, or should we be waiting for another? And people have debated about why John did that and this. I'm not going to get into that, but read the response of Jesus just very quickly. Now, when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't give a yes or no answer to John. He wasn't that direct in his response to John or the disciples that were sent to him. But he says, look at what you've seen and look at what you've heard. Look at the works. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the lepers are being cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised up. And the last one is interesting, something we need to take to heart. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus didn't give a yes or no to John or the disciples that were sent. The works speak for themselves. All right, go back to John chapter 5, if you will, to verse 37 and 38 now. John chapter 5, verse 37 and 38. And Jesus is going to talk about a third witness that he has, that he's the Christ, the Son of God. And the third witness that he has is the Father from heaven. Verse 37 and 38. And the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You have a third witness against you, testifying of me, the Father, Jesus says. Really, the testimony of the miracles and the testimony of the Father are one and the same. Allow me to quote Acts chapter 22, or Acts chapter 2, verse 22 again. God was performing the miracles through Christ and was attesting himself by the miracles. So really the works and the testimony of the Father are the same, but I'll separate them just to be clear. Three times in the gospel records, we have a voice coming from heaven and the Father testifying to his Son, Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note that two out of the three times that God the Father spoke from heaven were after this discourse in John chapter 5. So it's a good possibility that Jesus was not referencing the first time that God the Father testified to Jesus' sonship, but that he was referring to the works, the miracles, the Old Testament scriptures, and therefore God the Father testified of Jesus. But for our sake, we do have the three times that God the Father spoke from heaven, and we do have that as a testimony. So this is your little trivia for the radio program. What are the three times that God's voice came from heaven? Do you remember? And testified of Jesus? The first time was the only time before this incident, and that was at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus came up out of the water, and the text says the heavens were torn open, and a dove floated down on top of Jesus, and a voice came from heaven. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. A testimony from the Father himself. The second time we're told about, Jesus took Peter, James, and John on top of a high mountain, and his appearance was changed. His clothes started shining and gleaming, whiter than any launderer could make them. His face shone like the sun. Moses and Elijah showed up, and they were conversing with Christ about the exodus that he was accomplishing. And Peter and James and John became terrified. They entered the cloud. A cloud enveloped them, probably meaning a cloud dropped down and totally encompassed them. But that's when they heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. A testimony again from the Father. The third time is probably the most overlooked because it's only recorded one time. And that is in John 12. Verse 27 through 30. John 12, verse 27 through 30. I'll flip over there and just read that very quickly. 27 through 30 of John chapter 12. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude therefore who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Jesus identified it as a voice. This voice, he says in verse 30. Some people thought it was thunder. Some others thought it was an angel speaking, which is probably just their willful ignorance. But Jesus recognized it as God's voice. The voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. And let me say along these lines, the other two incidences where a voice came from heaven were not for Jesus' sake either. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was pleasing to his Father. The voice came for Peter, James, and John's sake at the Mount of Transfiguration. The voice came at the baptism for the sake of those around him. And the voice came in John chapter 12 for those at this incident. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And it's for our sake. The fourth witness that he talks about in John chapter 5 is the Old Testament scriptures. Go back to John chapter 5 if you're following along and begin reading with me in verse 39. We'll read through verse 47. 39 through 47 of John 5. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I can only imagine the look on their faces of these people in John chapter 5, when Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. These people must have been just dumbfounded. Keep in mind, Moses also wrote the book of Genesis. Moses wrote the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. So every time God promised Abraham through his seed that all the families of the earth would be blessed, it was talking about Jesus. When Genesis 49 talks about the scepter not departing from Judah's hand, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh come, and to him shall the obedience of the peoples be, it was talking about Jesus. When God told Moses that he was going to raise up a prophet like unto him in Deuteronomy 18, and to him shall the people's obedience be, it was talking about Jesus. We could go on and on and on and reference all of these passages that talked about the Messiah, but the point is, Jesus says, if you believe those passages, if you believed about Moses and his predicting of me, you would believe me. But I want to go in this direction. Why didn't they believe? Why didn't they believe the Old Testament when they had searched the Scriptures? The answer is in verse 44, when Jesus asked the question, how can you believe? Have you ever asked yourself, why don't people believe, or why don't more people believe? I've asked myself that so many times in my life. Why don't more people believe in Jesus? But Jesus didn't ask that question. He asked a different question. How can you? You know, how can you? They didn't believe Moses because they weren't truly seeking the glory that comes from God. I want you to read verse 44 again. How can you believe, Jesus says, when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? See what the problem is? They sought the Scriptures, and Jesus admitted that they did. You search the Scriptures, but you're not seeking the glory that is from God. And I wonder if we're not in that same boat, many of us. We read our Bibles. We're listening to a program like this. We're searching the Scriptures like they did. But what I want you to see is this. You can still search the Scriptures and not be seeking the right things. Let me say that again. You can search the Scriptures and not be seeking the right things. They sought glory from one another, man's glory. Sure, they read their Old Testament, but they read it from the perspective of what glorifies me, what lifts me up, what do I want? They wanted an earthly kingdom, so I guess that's how they read it. They wanted a young, strapping king that would lead them from the oppression of the Romans. And so that's how they read it. But the question gets turned on us, and that's the more important question. How do we read our Bibles? How do we read our Bibles? Do we read the Bible from the perspective of what does God want? Are we seeking the glory that comes from Him? Back to our original text and our original thought. If you've noticed, we've spent an awful lot of time here in the Gospel of John, John 1, I've referenced John 3, John 5, John 10. There's a reason for that. We've been talking about testimony and witnesses being brought to the stand and that imagery. Well, guess how many times the word testify, testified, testimony, or witness is used in the Gospel of John? 46 times. In the New American Standard, anyway, in the New American Standard Translation, 46 times the word testify, testified, testimony, or witness is used. To put it plainly, what I'm saying, to sum it all up, is that there is sufficient evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's these types of lessons that build my faith, and I hope they build your faith, that He is the Son of the living God, and He alone should be served. He exclusively should be served. So they had five of the top religious leaders come together on Larry King Live, and they started talking about what the right religion is. I'll tell you what's right. Following Jesus. In Him, there is salvation and no one else. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. And I hope and I pray that you will seek him out and seek the truth of Jesus out, and that you'll follow his teachings because he is what matters. He can forgive your sins. Until next time, have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monta Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Amen.